Hallelujah. We're counting on that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you happy tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Maybe you're happy because I'm not preaching. I'm sorry. I should have reminded you that our brother Figueroa is going to be speaking for us here tonight. And we are certainly blessed to have him with us and thankful to have him come our way. And we've been wanting to get him here for some time, and just it hasn't worked out for whatever reason. But he's a dear friend of ours, and we've been brothers in Christ and fellow workers together in the field for many years now. And there's many things that I love about Brother Figueroa and his wife, Sister Delia. Well, they make good kids, that's for sure. Yeah. Thank the Lord for that as well. But, Brother Robert, we've seen so much over the years, and he hasn't changed. He's changed because we're all changing, but he hasn't went backwards. He's just steady and solid and Amen. Pressing and fighting the good fight. The longer that you're in this walk, the longer that you live, the more you appreciate that. Just people that are just stable and they just press on, and just no matter what comes their way, they just get up and, okay, this is what I got to do. This is what I got to face. And these are the true heroes of the faith, I believe, you know. And many times they're the unsung heroes, perhaps in the eyes of men, but not in heaven. And so it's just a privilege to know our brother and to be working alongside him. I'm really humbled because we've actually went to Mexico a few times, and our brother has translated for us into Spanish. And I always, it's very humbling to me because he's a preacher in his own right, you know. And I'm thinking you could be taking this service, but instead you're in the background and helping me as we are trying to help the people. And he just gets right in the channel, and we just had some wonderful times together in that regard. And so I believe our brother has ministered for us when we were at the church on Farwell Avenue a few times, and now we get to have him here. So thank the Lord for that, and we're glad to have his wife, Sister Delia, with us here tonight. God bless you. And if you don't know it, Brother Robert is a pastor of the Lighthouse in the Desert, and so is it Huachuca City or Sierra Vista or yes. It's kind of the same area, right? Huachuca City, yeah. So that's kind of a burb of Sierra Vista, so down south. And so he's fighting the good fight down south. And this was, what was this, an oasis? Forget the name of the what they had here on the church when they built the church. It was, it's an oasis in the desert, yes, but there was a name for it, and I looked, huh? Yeah, Edom, which is in the Middle East. There were 10 springs in that area, and so it was truly an oasis in the desert. And we trust that this will be an oasis for those that are thirsty. It certainly has been for us and continues to be. So also, if you don't know it, Elizabeth is one of their children, and so we're thankful that they gave us Elizabeth. Amen. And then all their grandkids as well. So we're going to invite our brother to just come take his liberty here tonight, and told him just make yourself at home, and we'll make ourselves at home, and we'll pretend like we live here too, and just pull on the word and ask God to speak to you, and I'm certain that he will. So we'll sing He Counts the Stars as our brother prepares to come this morning. He counts the stars, one and all. Knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. Made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures, great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take. Every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. You believe that tonight? Amen. Tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. Yes, He does. He knows my name. I'm counting on it tonight, friends. He knows my name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you this evening. I count it a pleasure and an honor to be here behind this sacred desk before you this evening. Got a lot to say. I've been preaching for about 28 years now. I got called being late to the ministry, about 43 years old, and I wondered sometimes about that. But I believe that God has shown me in my own life and my own personal revelation is that the calling that was there was always there. You know, you just don't become a preacher or a minister overnight. You were always a minister. And there was always a call. Amen. I remember many years ago, I was about 23 years old, and I'd never been behind a pulpit, and that I was at Tabernacle Emmanuel, and Brother Bobby Gutierrez called me up to pray. And when I stood behind the pulpit, and I began to pray, everybody had their heads bowed. My whole body just was shaking. And I remember I prayed a prayer. I don't remember what I said, but it just about brought the house down. And there was something there, and I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what that was. But looking back, now I can see there was a call. And I'm grateful to the Lord that finally, here I am. Amen. God bless you all this evening. Thank you for coming. And you probably didn't know I was going to be here, but anyway, thank you for coming. May God bless your efforts. Amen. Because it is an effort. It takes an effort sometimes. I was telling the church this morning, you know, we have to subject this body to the Word of God. You know, you got to tell flesh sometimes. Flesh, you're going to church. You know, because flesh don't want to go to church. Is that right? Flesh don't want to pray. Flesh don't want to read the Bible. Amen. But I'll tell flesh, just go to the restaurant. Let's go have some. And flesh is real happy with that. But when it comes to the things of God, you know, the Bible says that our mind is enmity toward God. And we have to subject this word. As Paul said, I put my body under, or I subject this flesh that I have to the Word of God. Lest I myself, after having preached the gospel, I become a castaway. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, thank you, musicians. God bless you. Such wonderful, wonderful musicians you have here. And you're really blessed. You got a good pastor. Amen. And, you know, sometimes you don't realize what you've got until you lose it. So you don't want to be there. You know, you want to honor what God has put in this place, in this church here. And men of God that are here, deacons, trustees, song leaders, in the musicians, everybody playing the part. And you play your part as well. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this evening, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. And also we'll be reading out of Matthew 6, 6. My subject this evening is a call to prayer. In 1 Timothy 2 and 8, it says, I will therefore that all that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And Jesus said in Matthew 6, 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen. Father, this evening, Lord, as we have opened up the scriptures, Lord, anybody can open up a Bible, Lord, but it's by revelation, divine revelation of God, that you open our eyes to what you want to say to us tonight, Lord. Speak to every heart this evening, Lord, and anoint my lips that I get out of the way, Lord, and just, Father, that you take this unworthy servant, for Lord, and use me for whatever you want to do, Lord God. And may your anointing be upon me, I pray, and anoint your people as well this evening. We thank you and bless your name in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated this evening. I was thinking of my daughter as before I came up here, and you know, she passed away about 2 years now, almost 2 years ago, and it's been the hardest time of our life. It changed our life. We had to move out of Benson and get closer to Elizabeth so we could have our kids near. We got sick after that with the COVID as well, and after the funeral, and we were pretty close to death. My wife and I, it was really close, and it was a hard time for us going through that. And it's not just when the person dies, but it's the months that drag on after that. If you ever lost a loved one close to you like that, you know what I'm talking about. You think about her every day, and sometimes we cry. You know, it's just the emotions just get a hold of you. And I've been going through a lot of struggles because of that. Not struggling with the Lord, but just struggling in this life, you know. And just crying out to God. And one day the Lord spoke to my heart. And he says, son, he said, I never said it was going to be easy. And I want you to realize that. He didn't promise that it would be easy for us. You know, but he did promise that he would never leave us. Nor forsake us. Amen. I know that my daughter held Brother Doug in a special place in her heart, because about a year before that, she was really sick, and she was in the hospital. And the only minister that from Tucson that went to see her was Brother Doug, prayed for her. And she always remembered that and held, and he had a special place in her heart for that. But in all of this, we can say God is good. Amen. God is good. Amen. In the message, the faith that was once delivered to the saints in 1955, I don't have the paragraph number, but it says, don't you like to get alone with the Lord? My, just be alone. There's sometimes we used to sing a little song, there's sometimes I like to be all alone with Christ, my Lord. Did you ever hear that? He says, I can tell all my troubles all alone. And that's the way he wants to get you, alone to himself. Your prayers, not so much as when you're, maybe coming, or you know, you're, for instance, well out in the public when you're praying, like in the church or around the altar. It says it's different. Get alone, he says. You'll pray a different prayer. Amen. Than when you're by yourself and than you do when you're in the public. Slip alone, all of you. Go out and just have a real secret meeting place where you and the Lord meet several times a day and pray. I saw a video some time ago of a preacher, not message, but he's Pentecostal, and he was talking about prayer. And he said, he says, you know, he says, Muslims, they pray five times a day. He said, Jews, they pray three times a day. And he says, it becomes a lifestyle for them. And I believe we who are the ones that serve the one true God, sometimes we shy away from prayer. We're going to talk about this evening. We're going to address that. Why is that? But let me tell you, he said, well, you pray whether you feel like praying or not. You pray when you're up. You pray when you're down. You pray. Amen. Doesn't matter how you feel. It's not about your feelings. You know, our feelings are a roller coaster. One day they're up, the next day they're down. Sometimes they're down, and we don't even know why we're down. And we can't depend on our feelings. We don't live our life by our feelings. We live our life by the Word of God. Amen. And so we pray whether we're up or we pray when we're down. We pray when we don't feel like praying. We pray anyhow. It has to become a lifestyle. A part of your character. A part of who you are. We pray. Amen. Lord, I remember my dad back in the late 50s, the revival fires was still burning. And many a night, he spent all night praying into the dawning of the day. And I know it's hard, but you know, it's hard to pray. We're not living in a revival right now. Unless it's a personal revival or a bride revival. But the world's not on revival anymore. And it's hard to pray. You've got to make the time. Paul in 1 Timothy, he talks about praying everywhere. All the time, and not believing that. If you're driving the car, many times I'm driving and I'm praying. You sister could be pushing that shopping cart and you're meditating and praying. Washing the dishes, or your brother's out there working through the day and you're in prayer. Amen. And we can pray everywhere. Many times I've been visited in a car. And I'll tell you right now, I don't know how I got from point A to point B. Because I wasn't there. But the Holy Ghost took care of me. Amen. And that's what we want. But you know, there's something different about prayer when you set everything aside. You set a time and you go into that place. And every time I go into my study and I close the door, I'm reminded of this scripture. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, amen, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And I'm reminded of that every time I close that door. How important it is to have that time of prayer. That's where we're strengthened. I believe that's when we can break through sometimes. A few years ago, I was preaching on prayer, and Brother Doug, you know, when you start preaching on something, it affects your life. You got to be living it. You just can't be preaching something you haven't experienced. And so I was experiencing this. They got to the place in my prayer that I could break through almost every time I got my knees. I could feel I was in the presence of God. You know what, those of you that pray, you know what I'm talking about. There's some times we pray and we can't quite break through. And it seems like your words are just bouncing off the ceiling sometimes. But then sometimes when you pray, oh, you feel the presence. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen of Jehovah God, as the song says, in the presence of Jehovah. Amen. God Almighty. Hallelujah. He's when he comes around and he begins to bless you and you feel in your spirit that he's there. Amen. Amen. It's easy to pray then. It's so easy. And it got to the point where I'm telling you, all I had to do is bow my head and I could feel his presence mightily in my life. And I backslid from that. And I was telling the church. But as I've determined in my heart and my life to go back and become that prayer warrior I always wanted to be, the Lord, for some reason, He's there every time I'm praying. I feel His presence. I can stay there for hours if I had the time. There's something about getting alone with God. Something about shutting that door and taking that time to pray. Amen. That's where we fight our battles. You know, and I like the little song that says, "Into the chamber, be free, Holy Spirit. Speak to me gently as I close the door. Heavenly lover, let thy presence cover. Shekinah unending is all I long for." That's what we want. That's what prayer is all about, friends. You know, all these great generals of God that of the past, including our beloved brother Branham, they didn't get there without having a life of prayer. I remember Brother Green gave a testimony one time. They were sitting in the cafe, and there were some five or six brothers there, and Brother Branham was there. And about 3 o'clock, Brother Branham just stood up and walked out. Didn't say anything, just stood up and walked out. And Brother Green thought, do we offend him? Was he offended? And somebody said, I think Brother Billy Paul might have been there. And he said, no, this is the time he goes to pray. You see, there was this need for him to go and pray. And he was very adamant about his times of prayer. And I believe that we kind of get loose in our prayer sometimes. And we began to think sometimes we're praying. And if, I don't know if it's happened to you, but it's happened to me. Where while I'm praying, someone's telling me, what's the use? He's not listening to you. And you feel like, the words is bouncing off the ceiling and not going anywhere. And you begin to wonder about your prayer. But let me tell you, prayer is powerful. Amen. Amen. In the message, Show Us the Father, and it suffices, in 1950, paragraph E41, Brother Brandon says, notice then, any divine promise of God is a seed. And that seed, in the right ground, will produce its kind. Corn will bring corn, barley will bring barley, wheat will bring wheat, and any divine promise of God will bring the results. If it's placed in the ground and there watered with faith, prayer, trust, God shall bring it to pass. I'm saying, he says, with experience. I looked at that and I was meditating on that. And God just spoke to my heart, you know, that seed that Brother Branham is talking about is the Word of God. And there's nothing wrong with the seed. It's perfect. It does not fail, friends. This word will not fail. Jesus said, heavens and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Amen. My word, God said in Isaiah, will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It will prosper whereto the thing I sent it. Amen. That word cannot fail. It can't drop short. So where is the problem in the connection? The problem is the soil. The problem is the ground. Amen. There's something wrong here with the ground. If that seed, if that promise of God is not being fulfilled in your life, there's something that's on this side, in this soil right here, where something is wrong. We got to line up with that word. Amen. That seed in the right ground, Brother Branham said, will produce its kind. The problem is in the soil. And there's a preparation that we must get into in order to be able to begin to receive that seed and that word be fulfilled in our life. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, the Bible says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground." Amen. "For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." It is that ground that needs to be broken up, friends. How do we break up this ground? We humble ourselves in the sight of God. We cry out to God, say, Lord, change me, Lord. We get to the place where we become desperate in our life. There's got to be a desperation take a hold of every believer. There's got to be something take place on the inside. Amen. In Isaiah 66 and 1, where it says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven and earth is my home, and the earth is my footstool. He's saying, I'm a pretty big God. Amen. That's what he's saying. Where is a house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? We see Jesus standing and say, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But here God is saying, where is the place of my rest? He says, all these things have been. All these things have by my hand made, saith the Lord. He says, but this to this man will I look. Hallelujah. Amen. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Amen. We got to break up the fellow ground, friends. We got to break up the fellow ground. Walk in humility with God. Amen. Calling out to his name. Amen. That this heart be broken. Hallelujah. Begin to mourn and weep. In 1 Peter chapter 4, 5, verses 4 through 7, it says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. He will exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So there's a way we approach God. I remember one time Brother Brown was out in the woods. He was praying and he was trying to make contact with the Spirit, and he begins to pray and nothing happened. And so he was sitting on a stump, I think, and he sat, and then he kneeled down and prayed and nothing. And finally he just lay himself on the ground prostrate. Amen. Just spread out his arms, and immediately the Holy Spirit began to speak to him. Sometimes our body language, amen. Sometimes it's how we the thoughts that we have in our heart. Sometimes how we approach God. What attitude we have when we come to His presence. What are we seeking? How much do we want it? How much does it mean? What does it mean to you? Amen. What is it you want from God? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we find that how important it is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. In the message, knowest all things, thou knowest all things, in 52, paragraph 17, Brother Branham says, now, see what prayer does? Prayer is not exactly bringing God down to man. See, we always say, well, the Holy Ghost came down, or God came down. But Brother Branham says, it doesn't bring God down to man. It's bringing man up to God. He says, see, as you pray, you lose sight of these earthly things. You sway out into somewhere else, way beyond, and on and on and on, till you come into His presence. That's what it's about. It's about losing sight of everything around us. And He lifts us up, amen. He brings us up into His presence. Into the presence of Jehovah. That's why it says He will exalt you in due time. And also in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. There's something we have to, a part we play in this. You got to draw nigh to God. You got to seek Him while He may yet be found. Draw nigh to God. And He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. What are we doing? We're breaking up the fallow ground. Amen. We're preparing the soil for a seed to come in. For the manifestation of the Word of God in our life. He says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. A double-minded. He calls us, you double-minded, he says. You know what a double-minded says? James says it's a man that is unstable in all his ways. Unstable as can be. You can't have confidence in a man that's unstable. A man that won't make a stand. Amen. And that's what God wants us to do. We got to make our stand for God. That's what the Bible says. Having done all to stand. Stand therefore. Having your loins girded about with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. We got to stand. There's got to be a stability in us. You know, it takes backbone to stand. Take a backbone out of a man, he becomes a jelly. Can't stand up. But we need backbone. We need the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Moving in our soul, in our heart. This evening, hallelujah. Glory to God. Purify your hearts, you double-minded, he says. Be afflicted. There it is. Mourn and weep. What are you doing? You're breaking up the fallow ground. Hey, man, you're preparing yourself. You're preparing yourself. You know, anybody would ever come before a king, they had to prepare themselves. Remember Esther? When she was going to go before the king, how she fasted. And she had to wear a certain garments and prepare herself to come into that presence that he might extend that scepter to her. Hey, man, we're coming into the presence of God. Amen. You don't come in nonchalant, just whatever, but you come in a certain way. When you shut the door, my attitude changes. Hallelujah. I know I'm coming into the presence of the King, Brother Doug. I know that there's something there for me. Amen. God is waiting there. Brother Brandon says he wants to get alone with you. God Almighty, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he wants to be alone with you. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to instill this evening into you the importance of prayer. That's where we win. That's how we're going to become overcomers, is through our prayer. Amen. Again, it says there, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will what? He will lift you up. He'll bring you, hallelujah, into his presence. Oh, how wonderful. Have you ever experienced the presence of Jehovah God? You young people, if you haven't, I pray one day, God, that soon you'll experience that. You know, it's addicting. That's one addiction I want. I want to be addicted to the presence of God, amen. When I felt it that first time in my life, I said, I want more of that. Amen. Hallelujah. It is how you present yourself, how you live, and how you present yourself before God in that prayer time. Amen. Come in and set everything aside. Turn off the phone. Close the door. Amen. Shut the blinds. Amen. And get into the presence of God. Amen. Glory to God. In the message, Perfect Strength, by Perfect Weakness in 61, paragraph 92. Brother Brand says, I hope that gets down deep to us. Both here and the tape world. That you realize that you've got to become nothing. Not a know-it-all. Not a great somebody, but a nobody. You got to come to dust, he says. You've got to get to a place that you know that you're nothing. And don't never rise above it. For as soon as you rise above it, you rise above God. You've got to keep yourself in the dust. And on the road to Damascus, you've got to keep yourself off your high horses. And that is for everyone, for those that are here and everywhere these tapes go. Can you imagine to keep ourselves? When you come to the altar and you give your heart to God, and there's a dying out that begins right there. So we can't stay at the altar. We have to get up and leave. But when you come to the altar, The altar was a place where they would bring the sacrifice back in the old days. And they would bring that lamb, and that lamb would be placed there, and the priest would take its life, and the blood was everywhere. The little animal kicking and bleeding and trying to live. Because it's an instinct in every animal and every human being to live. Amen. If someone puts a pillow over your face, you'll fight with everything you got. It's an instinct. It's something on the inside. It you want to live. You want to take that breath. Amen. And we find that, hallelujah, we need to give our heart to God. You know, the Lord Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. Amen. I pray that as I speak this evening that something gets a hold of your heart and you realize the importance of it. You've got to come to dust. And that sacrifice, when that little animal would die, but now there is no little animal. When you come to the altar, you're the sacrifice. You are the sacrifice. Paul said in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye, young men, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So we are the sacrifice. Amen. We come to, when we lay there, but we have to get up and we go about our life. But don't forget, you're still the sacrifice. You are a continual sacrifice. You are a living sacrifice. I like the little song that says, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Hallelujah. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. A sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Amen. He says, when you rise above that dust, you've risen above God. We got to remain there. That's why that soil's got to remain in that atmosphere. Amen. Brother Brandon said, what? Trust, faith, and prayer. Remain in that atmosphere always. Got to be living in that atmosphere. Wherever we go, that atmosphere, it's around us. Amen. It is the anointing of God, amen, upon His children. Anointing us, amen. When that atmosphere of the Holy Spirit is there, when you can walk into a room and people will take notice. Amen. Because there's something. I remember people telling me that Brother Branham would step on the platform. People would be there all day long from the morning. And it was evening. Now, they've been sitting there waiting for this moment. And the moment that man would step on the platform, people would start crying and sobbing. And there was a spirit that was upon that man, an anointing that was upon that man. And they would stand there and say, good evening, friends. And people would start sobbing and crying. What was it? It was the anointing of the Lord upon a man, the presence of God in that man. And he's not. And if God can do it with him, God can do it with you. You can have that anointing. Amen. You've got to have that atmosphere around you. Hallelujah. We got to continue. We can't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so sensitive, I mean, that any little thing can grieve the Holy Ghost. Oh, we got to be in tune with the Holy Ghost. We got to take every step. When that high priest would go behind the Holy of Holies, it is said that he would take steps and he would say, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Amen. What was he doing? He was going into the Shekinah presence of Almighty God. That's where we're living every day. And we just can't live any kind of life. We just can't say anything. We just can't do anything. We just can't go anywhere. Amen. There's something got a hold of my life and they won't let me go. Something got into my soul, my heart, and into my soul. Hallelujah. Got to lay there in that dust. Amen. The soil Amen. That fellow ground being broken up on the inside. Hallelujah. God can work with that. To this man will I look, even to him that is of a broken heart, a contrite spirit. Hallelujah. In the message, God keeps his word in 57. Brother Rand says we should be unfolding God's spirit pouring out. Not just one little gusher. Not just one little baptism. Brother Brandon said, you know, our experiences 20 years ago, 10 years ago, they got wiggle worms. It won't do for right now. We need his presence right now. I need an experience today. I want God on the scene right now. I'm hungry. Jesus said, they that hunger and thirst shall be filled. Glory to God. Hunger, that's breaking up the fertile ground. We began to hunger. We began to thirst like we never did before. Hallelujah. Nothing else satisfies but the presence of God in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, not just one little baptism. He said, but baptism after baptism. Hallelujah. How do we do that? We stay in that condition. The ground broken up. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Walking in the anointing of God day after day in our prayer life begins to, just get stronger and stronger. Someone said one time, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Oh, there's something about prayer, friends. He says, not just one little baptism, but baptism after baptism. Not a revelation just to live by faith or sanctification or the gifts of the Spirit, but revelation after revelation. Power after power. Glory after glory. Why, he says, we ought to be way up the road, ready for translation. We've been waiting over 50 years, friends. Since he left the sea, where are we today? He says, ready for translation. We ought to be way up the road by now. Ready for translation. And we're lingering back down in the old things. And saying, well, we keep going back, Brother Ram says. Let's go forward. Amen. I told the church, you know, in your walk with God, there's no standing still. You're always moving. You're either moving forward or you're backsliding. You're either moving forward, or I said, or you're backsliding. Amen. There's no standing still in this. There's got to be movement. Amen. And I pray this evening that you're moving forward. Brother Brandon said, we gotta go forward. Amen. We've been lingering too much back here with this and with that. Amen. It's time we've put our eyes upon Jesus. It's time, hallelujah, we stand up. Amen. It's time that we fall. If you fall, get back up again. The righteous falleth seven times and rises up again. Hallelujah. Get up, dust yourself up, and keep going forward. Hallelujah. Keep walking. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the book that I read, written by Frank Bartleman, who was back in Azusa Street, he was in that revival back in 1906. If you haven't read that book, Azusa Street, I recommend it. And he says, something I'm going to quote from this book, he says, because remember, that was where the Holy Spirit fell the last time, was at 1906 there in Los Angeles. And it was a powerful, powerful experience that people received back then. He says, the whole place, he says, was steeped in prayer. Amen. You want to get to a place where God is on the scene like that, we need to be steeped in prayer. Our lifestyle needs to change. Amen. We have to start taking prayer seriously. Amen. He says, it was for man to keep silent. God was in his holy temple. The Shekinah glory rested there. In fact, some claim to have seen the glory by night over the building. I do not doubt it. I have stopped more than once within two blocks of the place and prayed for strength before I dared to go on. The presence of the Lord was so real. Presumptuous men would sometimes come amongst us, especially preachers who would try to spread themselves in self-opinionation. But their effort was short-lived. The breath would be taken from them. Their minds would wander. Their brains reel. Things would turn back black before their eyes. They could not go on. I never saw one get by with it in those days. They were up against God. Hallelujah. No one cut them off. We simply prayed. The Holy Spirit did the rest. We wanted the Spirit to control. Amen. He wound them up in short order. They were carried out as dead, spiritually speaking. Not spiritually dead, but dead because of the Spirit, slain by the Spirit, in other words. They generally bit the dust in humility, going through the process we had all gone through. In other words, they died out, came to see themselves in all their weaknesses. Then in the childlike humility and confession was taken up of God, transformed through the mighty baptism in the Spirit. The old man died with all his pride, arrogancy, and good works. Good works. You see, these were not bad men. Sometimes a minister can have a lot of good works. People have come to the altar. People will come say, "Brother, you preached that day, and I came to the Lord." People can be healed, and all kinds of things can happen around the ministry of a man. But it's not the man. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And sometimes a man, because of his good works, it can become a hindrance in his life. When we see Brother Branham there, when he was telling us about the beyond the curtain of time, he was laying in bed. Is that right? Had his hands behind his back. His head. He'd say, "Billy, if you're going to do anything for the Lord, you better get busy." And here's a man that hundreds of thousands, if not millions, had come to the Lord. You see, we got to keep our right attitude before God. Realize that with all that we do, if we've done great things, if you've done great, as a lay person, whatever God has done in your life, it was because God's mercy was upon you. It was the Holy Spirit that did that. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, all the pride and arrogance and good works in my own case, he says, I came to abhor myself. I begged the Lord to drop a curtain so close behind me on my past that it would hit my heels. And I remember the scripture where Jesus said that we are to hate our life. And I never could understand that. Why would God want us to hate our life? But it wasn't until I began to get into this prayer, this deep prayer with God. And I'm not trying to brag to you. I'm giving you an example. And the only example I can give you is my own. It's not bragging, believe me. But in the prayer, it got to the place. Sometimes I thought I'd done pretty good that day. And I'd be praying. And right there, the Lord would start reminding me of this and things that I'd done or said. And I began to realize that I needed His forgiveness again. I needed to repent again. And I began to get to the place I say, "Lord, in my prayer, Lord, how can you even stand me, Lord? How can you even stand me the way I am?" And that's what it is when you begin to see yourself in that light that Frank Bartleman is speaking of here. When you begin to see yourself, how unrighteous we are. It's our righteousness. It's no good for nothing. It won't do anything for us. But it's His righteousness, amen. It's His holiness, amen. It's His mercy. It's His grace. It's His love, amen. It's His calling. It's His election. He called you. He elected you. He's taking care of you. He said He'd be with you. He said He'd never leave you. Hallelujah. And that's God, His mercy and grace following behind you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh my. Glory to God. He said, I begged the Lord to drop a curtain behind me. Oh my. Jesus said in John chapter 12, 24 and 25, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die." That's us. We got to die out. That atmosphere has got to be there, friends. That atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can begin to move in your life. As you lay there and rot, as you lay there in the dust, not even so much as looking up, but just lay in that dust and say, "Oh God, have mercy, Lord.
I believe once we get in that spirit, that's all we're going to be able to say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on my wife. Have mercy on my children. Have mercy on my grandchildren. Have mercy on my brothers and my sisters. Lord, we need your mercy. Hallelujah. He says, verily I say to you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Hallelujah. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. That's what we need to do. Get to that place in our life where we begin to see ourselves. Maybe it's through his eyes. We begin to realize what we are. How unworthy that we are. Hallelujah. Amen. One day I don't know if you knew, but I drove a bus for 10 years, a school bus. Just retired 2 years ago, in 2020. And I'd be preparing myself to go to work. I had to go in about 5 in the morning, so I had to get up pretty early to be able to have time to maybe drink some coffee and pray and read my Bible. And I was reading my Bible one morning, still dark outside, and I was reading 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. You want to put it up on the board, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. And there it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. I know the scripture, I've read it many times, I memorized it. But you know, that morning it spoke to me. Something I never noticed before, because there in verse 4, if you want to put it up there, verse 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And I said, Lord, I know that this is a weapon, the sword of the Spirit. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow. And I know this is a weapon. This is a sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And if you ever heard the message, greatest battle ever fought, how many ever heard that message? Then you know that this is the weapon. It's that word, as we confess it, it's a sword. By his stripes I'm healed, and we strike that devil. Brother Brandon said, you see it, that devil, you confess it again, you're smiting that devil, and you hit him again, and I'm just paraphrasing, you destroy that devil, then you take a step forward, and you say, now where's the next one? That's the life we should be living. Amen. Taking the gate of our enemy. Amen. I told the church back home, I said, we are the church of the gate takers. God has placed us there and given us authority over every spirit. Hallelujah. And we're gate takers tonight. God, allow these gates so we can practice on the enemy and take those gates. Hallelujah. For the weapons of our warfare. And I'm thinking, Lord, what other weapon is there? I only know about the weapon of the word, the sword of the Spirit. And immediately the Lord impressed upon my mind when Brother Branham said, when the weakest saint gets on his knees before God, Satan trembles. And then I thought, wow, that's a weapon. That's a weapon. And I began to preach it. Didn't have no quotes from Brother Branham, just that. And I began to preach. I said, this is a weapon. Amen. We have a weapon we can destroy the devil with. We can do battle with him. It's on our knees before God. Hallelujah. Sometime after that, I saw a picture on Facebook. And I'm in this UPC group, United Pentecostal. I like to see the things they put on there. And somebody put a picture of a black sister. She must have been United Pentecostal. And you could tell she was a Christian. She had long hair and long dress. And she's on her knees. And she's got her hands up in the air. And you know she's in another realm with God in that picture. And it was impacting. But what it said underneath that picture really got my attention. It said, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. You realize there's where you fight your battles? It's on your knees before God. Amen. Jesus said, pray that you enter not into temptation. Why? Because we're fighting our battles. We're taking the gates of the enemy in our prayer, hallelujah. As we get into that prayer closet and we lose ourselves in the presence of Jehovah God, amen, and we begin to pray. We begin to pray in the Spirit. Maybe we speak in tongues, but the Holy Spirit begins to pray through us, amen, and we begin to take every gate that's before us. Because we are more than conquerors this evening. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This is how I fight my battles. Many times in my prayers, Lord, I'm here to fight my battle. Lord, I'm here to put on that spiritual armor. Brother Brown says that armor is spiritual. It's a spiritual armor. Lord, we armor up in the morning. Hallelujah. Try to get a morning prayer in there and get ready for the day that's coming. Because we know when we open the door, there's going to be our adversary will be standing right there waiting for us to start the day. Amen. We need to armor up in the morning. Hallelujah. Get ready. Hallelujah. Prepare ourselves in the battle. Glory to God. That's what we're called prayer warriors. We fight the battle through prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. In the greatest battle ever fought, Brother Branham says in paragraph 400, he was preaching 62, March 11th. He says, see his attack. Watch. Listen close. This closing. His attack is what? Disbelieve God's word. Amen. That's his attack. There, can you see the greatest battle ever fought? Oh my, I hope you're following me this evening. Put on your spiritual caps. Keep your mind from wandering. He's going to try to get you to wander right now. Because I want to tell you something very important. You see his attack, he says. It's the greatest battle that was ever fought. There's only two forces, Satan and God. And what is Satan's weapon against you? Listen to me. Is to try to get you to disbelieve your weapon. When you kneel in prayer, hallelujah, you come to do battle. You got to believe your weapon. You got to believe that God has called you to pray. And that the words you're going to speak when you kneel, that all of hell is going to start to tremble. Satan will begin to shake. You've got to believe your weapon. Oh my. Now I know he's talking about the word of God, but prayer is also our weapon. Hallelujah. He says, what is Satan's weapon against you? Is to try to get you to disbelieve. How many times when you're praying have you felt, what's the use? We get to the point where we even stop praying. We don't pray like we would, like we should, or like we used to. Because somehow or another, we got to believing the devil. That there was no, that God wouldn't answer our prayer. What's the use of praying? Why should I pray? God's not going to hear me. You see, he gets you to disbelieve your weapon. He disarms you, he says. He said, let's listen real quiet now. Listen. If he can get you to disbelieve your weapon is equivalent, if he gets you to believe that your weapon is not strong enough, he has disarmed you. Oh my. Hallelujah. You got to believe your weapon. Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You've got to believe in your prayer. You've got to believe that what God has called you to kneel down and to pray and to call upon God. That is your place as a believer. That is where you battle the enemy, and that is where you defeat him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Neville, I hope we never leave that. Brother Neville says, I hope and pray not. Look, he says, he's disarmed you when he gets you to disbelieve that weapon. Hallelujah. When you lay that down, that finishes your fight. You're done. Hold that weapon. Don't you lay it down. Hallelujah. Joel 2:12 says, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart. What's he saying? Break up the fallow ground. Hallelujah. Rend your heart and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger. And of great kindness and repenteth him of the evil. Amen. It's a time. I believe we're in a window right now, friends. I feel an urge to see. Hallelujah. I know Brother Deb feels the same thing. Something about the time that we're living in right now. There's an urgency. There's a window of time right now. You know, Jesus said that one of the signs would be pestilences. And I just saw in the news a few days ago where in China they had been in lockdown since 2020. Remember how 2020 was? We couldn't go anywhere, couldn't do anything. I was working for the buses and they shut down the school and just paid us the rest of the year. And they didn't want to have school. They were so afraid. And so China has still been in lockdown until just recently. They began to protest the government everywhere. It was in the news quite a bit. And finally, the government relented and opened up everything. Almost immediately. They say since that time, about 250 million Chinese have come down with COVID. Friends, it's still around. It's not going away. We're in a window of time. We don't know what's coming next. We got to be ready for it. Amen. God is allowing us His mercy and grace. He's given us a time. The Bible said it is time to seek the Lord. Seek Him while He said, seek the Lord while He may yet be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. They said the morgues are so full, they don't know what to do with the bodies. Brothers and sisters, we're in a very dangerous time right now. There's only one place that is safe, and it's in the ark of God. You've got to find that place, that nick in your life where you get into that prayer, and you begin to mean business with God. But we don't know what's coming up around the corner right now. Hallelujah. In the message, Desperations, Brother Branham says, there in paragraph 61, he says, desperation, signs of His coming, should throw every member of Christ into desperation. How many here are members of Christ? Where should we be? In desperation. We see the signs of His coming all around us. Amen. I was telling June and Elizabeth, I was praying and reading my Bible a few days ago, and I began to see something, and it might not be, but I thought, what if it is? If you remember back when Israel came to Kadesh Barnea and they refused to go in, and God sent them back into the desert, and they went around the circles for 40 years. And it's until that generation died, their carcasses, the Bible says, fell into the desert. And we find that from the age of 20 and above, they died in the desert. Is that right? And I've always looked at this prophecy of Jesus, and I've wondered about it, where Jesus said, when you see this fig tree blossom and shoot forth, know that summer is nigh, even at the door. We know that's the coming of the Lord. We know that fig tree is Israel. We know it became a nation in 1948. I believe May 14th. And I began to look at that, and then I looked at that. I don't know how the Lord led me to all this, but it might not be. This is maybe just me. But just what if it is? Remember when Brother Brown brought the message where he preached, sirs, what time is it? It was just questions. What if this? What if that? Could this be? Could this be that? And looking at that, and if you go back to 48, anybody from 20 and above, back in Israel, they died. That generation died. Jesus said, that generation shall not come to pass. Now, we know that it's not the 40-year generation. There's different kinds of generations. Now, I'm a generation. My daughter Elizabeth is a generation. Her children are a generation. We're all generations. My parents were another generation. Then there's a generation that's called a time, a span of time of 40 years. Some say it's 20. Brother Brown said it was 40. And that's a generation. And also there's a generation that might have lived back during the Civil War. We know that generation is gone. Back in 1865, they're all gone. Most of the generation that saw World War I are gone. There might be a few centennials out there that are still alive, but there's very few. And I thought, what if it's 20 and above of 1948? You know what that puts those people right now? 95. 95 and above. What if it's that generation? What if they have to die out? Do you realize how many centennials die every year? In 5 years from now, how many of those 95-year-olds will still be here? A generation is fast going out. And I say this, it's not thus saith the Lord. But I'm just saying, what if it is? What if that generation is the generation Jesus spoke of, 20 and above, that saw it, that were alive when Israel became a nation in 1948? They're 95 and above. Where are we living at right now? What time is it, sirs? Could this be it? I don't know. But I believe, if anything, we should be in desperation. As Brother Brown said, signs of his coming should throw every member of Christ into desperation now. About our souls. About our welfare for hereafter. Well, what are we going to do to amount to if we gain the whole world? What are we? What are we living for? Well, what do you work for? What do you eat? What are you eating for? What are you struggling for? To live? What are you living for? To die? Because in the natural, if the Lord tarries, every one of us will die. Young and old, we're living to die in the natural. He says, and you're not fit to live until you're fit to die. If we're going to live eternally, we need to die. There's got to come a time when we begin to take things seriously and realize, Lord, what time are we living in right now? Lord, where are we right now in your schedule? Ecclesiastes 3:4 says, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. In the message, almost in closing this evening, blind Bartimaeus, Brother Brandon says, you know, there's something about getting alone to yourself. Many people never pray until they come to church. Many people think that the only place to pray is at church. But the Bible said for men to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. And then when we get by ourselves, we'll usually pray different than when we would if we prayed in church. Is that right? By ourselves. It's a secret prayer that Jesus spoke of, saying, enter ye into the secret closet and close the door. And when you have did so, pray to your Father who sees in secret. And he that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when we're praying like that, there seems to be something to the prayer that takes all the hypocrisy out of it. It seems like we get in a better connection with Christ or with God to get alone. Hallelujah. And there's been times in my life, as perhaps in your life, that you just have to get alone once in a while with Jesus. I took my car and drove down the road and just studying. And after I got to the highway where it was free or off in the country road, till I would become so filled with his mercies and goodness, till I just stopped the car and held the wheel and wept like a baby. That being alone, many times I've climbed up into the mountains where many men thought I was with me, and I was going hunting, go up there and sit down on a rock and just look up to the sky until I looked like the whole, my whole innermost being become filled with something that you could just feel. What's he describing? The presence of Jehovah. Amen. The presence of Jehovah. He says, oh, everything of the world seemed to pass away. Oh, for those precious hours alone with God. It's there that when the greatest revelation and inspiration comes. It's when we're alone with God. We take more time on that. I'm sure that we would live a better life, more victorious life in Christ. Amen. If our musicians would come this evening. If you could play the song for us this evening, Shut In With God in a Secret Place. Hallelujah. Brother Brown said in the message Expectation in 1950, he said, it's prayer that I depend on. That's the secret of all the mysteries of God. That's the key that opens the door to everything of God. It's prayer. If you pray and believe when you pray, if you pray and believe when you pray. If you pray and believe when you pray, then believe that you receive what you ask for. God will make it known. Hallelujah. You know that song, Shut In With God?
Shut in with God in a therein the Spirit beholding His face, gaining new power. Hallelujah. How I love be shut in with God.
As they continue playing Message Believing God in 52, paragraph 107. So therefore, that's the reason, said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. An individual's prayer. Notice he didn't say a minister. An individual, any one of us. We're all individuals. An individual's prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, if you only knew that in your hand God gave us the authority with His name by being Christians, the most powerful weapon, hallelujah, the world has ever known, hallelujah. Prayer, it even changes everything. It'll change the mind of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Lord, con Dios en secreto estar en el Espíritu oyendo su voz para pedir al momento que alimente mi fe. Qué hermoso. Shut in with God. Stand with me this night. It lives there in the Spirit. Behold, hallelujah. Finding new power to run the race. message, my angel shall go before thee. What happened after I began to preach on prayer, telling the people there in my little church that there was a weapon that God had given us. And that is how we fight our battles. I came upon a pamphlet I had in my study all these years. I never even looked at it. And it was called A Call to Prayer. And that's the name of my message this evening. A Call to Prayer. And in there were all these quotes of Brother Branham about prayer. You know, when the Lord spoke to me, something on the inside said, Amen. You know, Brother Branham said, when you got the Holy Ghost and the Word comes, that Holy Ghost within you will say Amen to every word of God. You don't have to stand and look at the pastor to see if he said Amen. You got the Holy Ghost. There's an Amen inside of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Doug. Amen, Brother Doug. That's the Word of God. Oh my. God spoke to me that day, and I know that morning when I was there in my prayer, that was a weapon of the Lord. And later I come to these quotes. You can imagine I had a little jubilee. Hallelujah. He says there in the angel, my angel shall go before thee. In 53, the Christian doesn't realize what a force he has when he kneels on his knees before Almighty God. In the name of Jesus Christ. He doesn't realize what power that is. Oh, wake up, church. Realize the weapon God has placed in your hand. Amen. This is how I fight my battles. It may seem like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, Lord. It may seem that everything's going wrong, but Lord, I know you're with me. I know that I know. Hallelujah. In the message, Do You Now Believe? In 53, he says, prayer is the most powerful weapon was ever put in the hand of mankind. Oh my. The next time you kneel to pray, I want you to kneel with confidence. Amen. You know in whom you have believed. In the name of Jesus. Name above all names. No other name given among men whereby we must be saved. All that we do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. There is a power in the name of Jesus. Brother Branham said that those believers in the ages, throughout the ages, he said he never failed in the mouths of believing Christians, confessing that word, amen, speaking that word, a sword of the Spirit going before the believer. Hallelujah. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Though we walk in the flesh, we war not after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Mighty through God. Mighty through Christ. Mighty in Christ. Hallelujah. To the pulling down of strongholds. What's got a hold of you this evening? Hallelujah. What is it? Are you struggling with something in your life? Hallelujah. He's come here. He will take that. He'll take it from you. Amen. To the pulling down. You see, as long as you've got unconfessed sin, he's got a hold. As long as you're not serving God, he's got a hold. He's got a stronghold on you. And you come before God. Amen. Take the weapon of the Word of God and the weapon of prayer. Hallelujah. It'll pull down the strongholds, casting down imaginations. Every high thing, Satan will use our mind. It's a gateway. Brother Brown said it's a gateway to our soul. It's an opening. Our mind. You children listening to the music, listening to all that garbage on the internet, you're opening up your mind to demonic forces. No wonder you're struggling in your spiritual life. You'll never get up in your spiritual life as long as you're filling your mind with the things of the world. Hallelujah. Get those things out of your mind. Amen. Let your mind be renewed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Casting down imaginations. He'll come through you through memory. He'll bring a memory of something back there in the past. Some pleasurable sin. Trying to entice you to begin to feed on that again. Hallelujah. That's when you go to prayer. That's when you go to war. Because Satan is now, he's attacking you. You've got to go to war. You've got to put him in his place. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations and memory and reasoning and all those things. Amen. And bringing into captivity. There it is. Brother Branham says, the greatest battle ever fought. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. In closing this evening, believest thou this? In 1950, he said this: if we fail to pray through daily, listen to me, everyone, put your attention up here. If we fail to pray through daily, all the time, keep under the blood, you'll wither up and die in your Christian experience. You've got to keep it alive. You've got to keep it moving in your heart. You've got to remain in the dust. Just lay in the dust. Be a living sacrifice. Lord, I come, Lord. I'm a sacrifice, Lord. I want to die to myself and lay there in that dust. Let that be your lifestyle from then on. Amen. Begin to seek him every chance you get. Our church, this preacher that I heard on that video, and he said it becomes a lifestyle. Your prayer. You pray in the morning. You pray in the noon. The four watches of the day, he called it. In the evening and in the night. And our church began to take watches. Some pray in the morning, some at noon, some in the evening, some at night. And I've seen a change in them. They're taking it more seriously. They're trying their best, amen, to stay under the blood, as Brother Brown said. We want to keep that experience living. Can't live on an experience we had 10 years ago. That it's a painted fire on the wall, friend. It's good to have a testimony. And I've got a testimony, a Figueroa testimony of 6 healings in our family through Brother Brandon's ministry. But I can't live on that. I was healed back in 55 in Phoenix, Arizona. I had intestinal problems. They wanted to operate on me as a little baby. And Brother Brandon prayed over the audience. My mom, she put her hand on, she didn't know English, but she understood him. And she put her hand on my stomach, and God healed me that same night. A miracle took place. Amen. I probably wouldn't be here right now if it hadn't been for that prayer that day in Phoenix, Arizona. See, there's many testimonies we can have, but I want to tell you, we cannot live in those testimonies anymore. We need a fresh experience of the Holy Ghost in our life right now, today. Oh God, hallelujah. Allah shut in with God in a secret place. Therein the Spirit. Amen. How I love to be sure. Just before I give the pulpit back to our pastor, we'd like to sing a little song, In the Presence of Jehovah. in and out of situations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Situations that tug of war at me. All day long I struggle for the answers that I need. But when I come into His presence, all my questions become clear. And in that sacred moment, no doubts can interfere. Oh, in the presence, hallelujah, of Jehovah God. Place to find the answers in hour of distress. Now there's never any reason for you to give up in despair. Hallelujah. Oh, just slip away and breathe His name. Believe that you will surely find Him there. Everyone together now. Oh, in the presence. Hallelujah. Brother Doug. Oh, Jehovah. Hallelujah.